You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
We've been jumping into the book of Titus. We just started last week, so if you're new, you haven't missed much. We just had 1 week in Titus. It's 46 verses. That's all it is. And we're going to make it to the end of chapter 1, which will be 16 verses. We have 30 more verses ahead of us, but we're excited about jumping into the book of Titus. Guys, we've got for you at all campuses called the Titus 10. It's by Josh Smith, The Foundations of Godly Manhood. Maybe you want a book for the summer, something to read about being a godly man, so you can get this at Corner Books and all the campuses. We all have that. We'd love for the guys to read that. I've read it myself. It's a great book. I know the guy that wrote it as well. And so grab that and jump in with that. We've also got another thing that we're doing that we're so excited about. When you came in, there were journals all throughout the worship center, and they're in the cross aisle. They're up in the balcony as well. And if you didn't get one coming in, we want you to get one coming out. And here's what we're going to do. We are going to each get a journal, and we're going to write down by hand the book of Titus. So you're going to look in your Bible, and then you're going to write down a little bit of Titus, and we're going to write the entire book of Titus. This is my copy here. I have terrible handwriting. And so I went every other space. I just went to every other page. I tried to make it as readable as possible for somebody that could have this. I'll tell you what we're going to do with it in just a second. But let me give you a couple coachings on this. One, we're going to leave this first page blank because we're going to put a sticker in here. That's going to be a note from me and also the chairman, the CEO actually of Star of Hope, because we're going to use these at the Star of Hope. I'll tell you in a minute. So we're going to put that sticker there. Our special needs friends are going to put that sticker in for us. So that's really exciting because they serve the church each week and we love to do that. So that's going to be fun. And then you just write down Titus 1. Titus 2, chapter 2, chapter 3. Don't have to write every little verse, okay? For all of the type A perfectionists, if you mess up, it's okay. Just scratch something out and just keep on going. That's just fine to be able to have that. So that's going to be no problem. Pick whatever version of the Bible you read out of. That's fine. No problem with that as well. And then kids, we want you, if you got kids in your family, we want you to get out your crayons. We want you to get out your markers, and we want you to decorate the cover of your family's journal. Now, we don't have any kids with crayons, so I just wrote the book of Titus. That's all I wrote on mine. But I'll decorate it a little bit more, which would be great. So don't put any personal information in here. Don't sign it and say, hey, so glad that you did this. Our address is such and such. If you need any money, just call us at this area code. We don't want to do that either. But what we're going to do is we're going to get all of these. And then June 9th, we're going to all campuses, we're going to lay them on to the worship center stage, and then we're going to pray for them, because you'll be praying for them as you go along. Then all of those will be gathered up, and we're going to give them to the Star of Hope. We partner with them, and for every person that checks into the Star of Hope, they're going to get a handwritten copy of the book of Titus. For those men, those women, those children even, to be able to read and to take the word of the Lord into their hearts as well. So we're going to do that. If you finish this in a week and you want to do another one, awesome. Grab another journal. We'll leave them out for you, right? Five of them if you want to. If you're not here on the 9th, okay, no problem. Turn them in some other way. Just set them on the steps. We'll take care of it. But we're going to have a great time of being able to do that. So here's what I want. I want you to kind of give me a little verbal commitment here. All campuses, I'm going to say, are you going to do this? And then you're going to say amen if you're going to do this, all right? For God and everyone. Here we go. All right. It's 46 verses. Come on, you can do this. So here we go. Count of three. Are you going to do this? All right, there you go. Now you've got it. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be a great time. I've already finished mine. I'm going to start another one. I'm going to do another one and have that to be a great time. So we are in the book of Titus, obviously. And last week I told you, I gave you a homework assignment. We talked about the game Spot It, that we want to try to spot the lies. Can we spot the truth? Can we spot the lies? I gave you some homework to watch commercials and try to spot the lie. What's the lie in the commercial? And really, we got to be careful in news reports as well, don't we? To be able to spot the lie in news reports. I just kind of assume that it's about 50% true when I read an article. And so we got to be able to spot the lie, because there's things all out there all the time that we've got to be able to spot. So let me give you a little exercise here. I've got two AirPod Pros right here. Okay, not just AirPods, AirPod Pro. One of them is real and one of them is fake. I'm looking at them, and I can't really even tell which one's the real one and which one's the fake one. The boxes they came out of, both of them look legit, like they're from Apple. So which one's the right one which one's the wrong one. This one's the right one. And the reason I know that this is the right one, because when I just opened it, it didn't make any sound. But listen what happens when I open the fake one. Did you hear it? Yeah. All right. In the back, you even heard it. Good. And when you plug it in, it does that same ding, ding. So here's the difference. These two look exactly the same. They work exactly the same. They'll connect with your phone exactly the same. The only difference is that little ding, ding, and now you know that it's true. So I got both these. So how do I keep these straight in my house? Here's how I keep it straight in my house. I put a cover on this one because all truth should be covered in maroon is why it should be right there. So that's what I do there. I just keep this one in the cover so I know which one's the real one. Truth surrounded by maroon is how it works out in the Mott household. But here's what we've got to figure out. We've got to figure out to know the difference in false teaching and true teaching. We've got to be able to understand the true gospel versus the false gospel. We've got to understand when something's coming down that's not right, how do we distinguish against that? And Paul's going to talk to Titus, and he's going to say, okay, Titus, you're a pastor in this little island of Crete, and I want you to learn to spot it. You're going to have to spot it, and you're going to have to address it. And so we're going to look and we're going to see here about how to address and how to spot false teaching. Now, false teaching is discussed all throughout the New Testament. Jesus discusses it. John discusses it. Peter discusses it. Paul, here we're going to see, and many other places. Jude also discusses it. As soon as God brings in truth, the enemy's going to start bringing in lies because he wants to negate that truth. So let's look in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, and let's see if we can find the ding, ding and understand what's truth and what's lie. Here we go, verse 10. For there are many rebellious people full of empty talk and deception, especially those from the circumcision party. Now, that's the Judaizers. I'll tell you about them in a second. It is necessary to silence them. They are ruining entire households by teaching what they shouldn't in order to get money dishonestly. One of their very own prophets said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, not just beasts, evil beasts, lazy gluttons, not just gluttons, lazy gluttons. So here we see that Paul is saying to Titus, I want you as the pastor of this little island off Greece, this little island, I want you to protect the true gospel. You've got to identify the ding ding versus the real thing. Because if you don't do that, it's going to wreck households. It's going to wreck churches. It's going to wreck the truth. We got to get this thing right of the gospel. Here's why he's doing this. Because of love for other people. Love compels us to protect the gospel. Love compels us to protect the gospel. So in loving you, in loving a friend, we want to say this is what Jesus is really about. This is the truth of the scriptures. This is what the Bible says. Let me ask you this question. If you were to go to a doctor's office, you don't feel real good, and you go to the doctor's office and you sit down in that little examination room and he comes and he sits on his little stool and you've got some kind of sickness in your body and the doctor sits down with you and he says, how are you feeling? You say, I don't feel so good. Well, we ran some tests and he says, and everything looks fine when it's really not fine. Or the doctor sits down with you and says, this is going to be tough for me to tell you, but you've got some sickness in your body and we're going to have to deal with it. And we're going to have to put you on this regiment. And we're going to have to change some things. We're going to have to do all this. Which doctor is the one that loved you? The one that didn't tell you because he didn't want to hurt your feelings? Is he the one that loved you? You're sick. And he says, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm not real confrontational. I just don't want you guys to worry about anything. Is that the doctor that loved you? Or is the one that sat down and said, let me tell you exactly what's going on. I'm going to say in a sweet spirit, I'm going to have good bedside manner. But I've got to tell you what's really happening. I tell you that the doctor that really loves you is the one that told you the truth, isn't it? And true love comes when we protect the gospel and say, this good news, this is not just about having a good life. This is about eternity with God. This is not just about some person. This is about Jesus Christ. This is not just about some book. This is about the Word of God, the Bible. So we've got to protect this, Titus. We got to get this thing right. We got to make sure that this is protected. But there's some false teachers that have come in. So who are these false teachers? Well, it gives us some thoughts here. Here's how you can identify them. Rebellious people, full of empty talk, full of deception. This is in verse 10. And especially those of the circumcision party. What these false teachers were doing, the circumcision party, is a group called the Judaizers. They were taking Old Testament laws and trying to put them on the grace of Jesus Christ. So you don't need just Jesus. You need Jesus and the Jewish law together. That's what's going to save you. So it's grace plus works equals salvation. And I just want to tell you some great news. That's a false gospel. You don't have to earn your salvation. You don't have to try to gain your salvation. Your salvation is not up to you. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, was sent to planet Earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for you, died on the cross for me. And by faith, we can receive him as our Savior, and he in his grace can wash us clean. So they were trying to combine the Jewish law of circumcision with the grace of Christ. You got to have this, and you can't add things. That begins to be false teaching. So he says, look out for these rebellious people. Look out for these deceiving people. Look out for these folks that are trying to add something to the gospel. The gospel is the essence and the sweetness. It's not amazing grace, how sweet the sound, plus all this other stuff. It's amazing grace. It's not up to you. It's up to Jesus. And by your faith, placing your faith and trust in Jesus, you can receive that salvation and he can wash you clean. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He didn't say it was almost finished and you got to add some other things to it. He said, it is finished and it is done. And he says, now I want you to look out, because verse 12 is a really interesting verse. One of their very own prophets, this is a prophet from about 600 BC, said that Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Now, how would you like that to be said about you? Houstonians are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Like, no way. That's not us. But that's what was said about these people. Now, it was true about them. Why was it true about them? Here's what it was in their society. The island of Crete was thought to be the birthplace of the god Zeus. Okay? So the Greek god Zeus, they said, was born on the island of Crete. And Zeus lied. If you can imagine a god that lies, we talked about last week, God does not lie. A god that lies, Zeus would lie to gain advantage over situations. So the people thought that lies, because the god that was born on their island of Zeus, that his lies meant it was okay for them to be liars. And Titus receives from Paul, look out for them, for they are liars. What a terrible thing to be called. What a terrible thing for the stereotype to be there. Now, have you ever been in a situation and you've gone someplace, maybe you've gone foreign country, and this happened to me in Asia one time, and they said, oh, you're from Texas. And I said, yes, I am. They said, do you have a horse? And I said, no, I don't have a horse. Do you have an oil well? No, I do not have an oil well. I like to have a horse and an oil well, but I don't. I live in Houston. I have concrete, construction barrels, and a little bit of mosquitoes. That's what I have, okay? That's what happens around where we live, right? And so here's what we have. But there's this thought. We could say it like this. A Wisconsin is a cheesehead. A Louisiana person is a Cajun. A North Carolinian is a Tar Heel. An Okie from Oklahoma. You could say all these things. Well, when you said Crete, you were saying liar. That's what it was. So he's saying, I want you to have the truth, and I want you to understand that these liars, these false prophets are going to get in, and they're going to ruin households, is what it says there in verse 11, that they're ruining entire households. Now, that could be man, woman, 2.5 kids, sure. But it is also that the church at this time is meeting in houses. They didn't have nice, fancy buildings like we have. They would meet in houses, and so they're saying, these false teachers are going to different places. They're teaching that the gospel has to be added to, and they're ruining household churches. Do you see it? And so, Titus, I need you to get the gospel right and to stay away from this false doctrine. See, the world will always overpromise and underdeliver. So this false teaching is, oh, this can be great, this can be great. No, it's not. God will always promise and overdeliver, right? Because he's a God that does not lie, that is true. So what would you kind of say on, what would be some false teaching? Well, let me just give you a few things. If you're a note taker, you may want to write this down. False teaching is going to be based in emotion and or greed. It's going to be based in emotion and or greed. You see what they said there at the end of verse 11? In order to get money dishonestly. That was one of their motivations. Secondly, false teaching would be based on man being mankind, or a man being a cult type thing instead of Christ. So it's based in the wrong place of its foundation. False teaching points to works, not to grace. If you do this, God will do this for you. instead of grace. You just give your life to Jesus and let him, you just surrender. So it's based in works, not in grace. Paul's teaching will tolerate or redefine sin instead of seeking holiness. Paul's teaching will tolerate or redefine sin instead of seeking holiness. Lastly, it'll put man's happiness above man's holiness. Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive our sins and make us holy. And from that holiness, sure, I hope you're happy. But he didn't die on the cross and live a sinless life just to make us happy. Do you see it? So false teaching, we've got to be able to understand, ding, ding, where's it coming from? What's it teaching? What's going on with this? And let me just tell you, we live in a culture where churches are bending with the wind of culture. And the whole church can say it's wrong or say it's right. And if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It's not just, well, what do you think today? No, what does God say about this? What is the true teaching? Who is Jesus Christ? And those words that are false will be destructive, but the words that are true will be life-giving and life-changing. Let me tell you a great story of our very church. A guy came to our church. He was an agnostic. He didn't claim to be an atheist, but he said he was an agnostic. And he said, you know what? Science gives me all these facts, but I found that it doesn't give me hope. So I'm going to go to church. And so he came to our church. Now, what do we hope happens at our church? Well, we hope a couple things happen. I hope from my part, he hears the truth of the gospel, right? So that he can know how to trust Jesus and how much Jesus loves him. I hope from your part, he meets a welcoming group of people in Siena, Cypress, downtown, the Loop, that we're warm and caring. We say, hey, come sit with us. And hey, come to our life Bible study, that he doesn't feel like, well, everybody's got a click and I'm way out of it. So he feels that he's loved. So those two things begin to happen. He noticed, he said, this is his words, the depth and purpose and the beauty of the life of Christ in the people of the church. He noticed the depth, the beauty. He just knew there was something different about us as a church. There was a glow. There was a joy. There was a blessing. And he then, on one of our days of baptisms, which are such special days, he was overwhelmed in conviction of his heart. God was convicting his spirit. And he placed his faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Later, our church baptized him, and now he's an active member of a Life Bible study class. Can we just cheer for that? Isn't that cool? That's awesome. We want that to happen hundreds, if not thousands of times all throughout the city of Houston through our church. The Word of God is taught truthfully. The people of God are warm and inviting. Somebody is convicted by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ changes their life and they get involved in the life of the church. That's just perfect. That's exactly how it's supposed to go. And true teaching and true Jesus, this word, true Jesus of grace, that changes lives where this wrecks households. And so he says, Titus, it's going to be necessary that you silence them. Now, that sounds kind of unchristian a little bit, doesn't it? It's a Greek word that means to muzzle or to silence. But here's what it really means. It means I want you to silence them with reason. And so he's saying, Titus, our gospel is true. Our Savior is real. This is just like in 64 AD that they're writing this. And so here he is, and he's writing this. He said, this is true. And you go and you take to these people, the true gospel. And here's what I love. The description that he gave of the Cretans was liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. But he does not say, therefore, they're not going to receive the gospel. He says, look, this is tough ground, but I want you to move forward in this and share the true gospel with them. Isn't that great? It's an encouragement. Here's what these people are like. It's going to be tough, but you keep going and letting God do his work, not based in greed, but based by the Spirit of God. Now, it has there that they wanted money dishonestly. We could do a whole lot of talking about greed. I put at the very bottom of your listening guide here, a QR code. I did a whole message on greed, and all of us can struggle with greed. Whole message on greed, and that QR code will take you right to it from 1 Timothy that we did back in November, so you can have that. So let me give you a call to action on your listening guide here. Take your listening guide. The first call to action is this first box at the bottom. See if you can check it off after what I've said. Confront, the courage to confront in love. The courage to confront in love. That's what he's getting to us with our first point that's there. Now, verse 13, so you can check that box if you're going to make that commitment to have the courage to confront in love. Verse 13, let's look at what it says here. It says, this testimony is true. What's that? That's talking about that the Cretans are liars and beasts and gluttons. For this reason, rebuke them sharply so that, why? They may be sound in the faith. He wants them to actually come to the true faith and may not pay attention to the Jewish myths and the commands of the people who reject the truth. So here he says, the restoration is the goal. Restoration is the goal. It's not just to poke them in the chest. It's to say, hey, you Judaizers, you one that are adding to the gospel, I want you actually to be restored to the truth. I want you to know the goal is Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. He was the Messiah that is complete. He's the one that you need. You don't need anything else. You don't have to add anything else. He's the one. So he wants to restore that even to the Judaizers and then to those house churches that have been messed up. Let's get them back in the faith so that they're walking in the right direction. See, a rejection of the truth leads to the reception of errors. And at the same time, the rejection of errors can lead to the reception of the truth. And so he's saying, I want you to get this thing right. Jesus is the way. And you're going to have to be discerning. Disciples are discerning. Disciples are discerning. And we have to be discerning in our world. We got to spot it. We got to be able to hear the ding, ding to understand and to really understand what's true and what's false. You're going to have to look close because it's going to look a whole lot alike. We had a weird thing happen just recently. Kelly and I were flying back in and we flew into Hobby and we were coming up I-45 north, heading back to where we live. And we're not down I-45 south of town much unless we're coming up from the airport or going down to the beach, one of those two things. And so we're driving up. And as we're driving, I noticed in the next lane a little bit ahead of us, there's a family member's car. One of our family members, it looks like their car. It's the same color. It's the same model. I'm not real great at all this. It looked like the same year to me. I mean, it was the exact same car. And 6 digits on the license plate, the first 5 are the exact same digits of the license plate. So I'm like, man, what's the deal? Kelly, call that family member. So she calls and I'm like on speakerphone, hey, is your car in the driveway? Because we pull up next to the person, we look, and it's not our family member driving the car. Some guy driving the car. And so I come back, and so I'm like, call him. Let's find out what the deal is here. So we call. So, I mean, get this. Same color, same model, same year, my estimation, same exact car, same 5 digits until the last number is the only number that's a little bit off. Like if it's a 4 for our family member, it'd be a 6 on this, just that. And I'm like, whoa. And so they look out the window. Yeah, my car's in the driveway. I was like, okay. Cause I was ready to get behind that car and we were going to follow. I was going to call 9. I was kind of hoping it was a stolen car. I was like, come on, me and a white Bronco. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. I'm making it. Here we go. And so here we are. And we find out it's the thing. I was like, wow. How weird is that? Is that, I mean, what's mathematically possible of this happening? It's crazy. But the discernment of seeing something that looks so much alike, seems so Christian, but it's just a little off. And it'll wreck your life. And it'll wreck your family's life. And it'll wreck the church. And Paul says, look, you've got to be a discerner. And you've got to be able to realize the gospel is Christ plus nothing. And any changes that happen that contradict the scriptures, even if the entire church is saying that's the deal, if God's word says it's not, that's not the deal. That's the gospel. So let me give you the next two commitment closes of calls to action here. The next two, number two and number three, a conviction to study God's word. Do you know God's word? Can you identify the license plate to be able to understand that? Conviction to study God's word. The next one, a commitment to a community centered in Christ. What do? We called that family member. We checked with each other. Doesn't that their car? Does it look like this? All this stuff. A commitment to a community centered in Christ. We need other believers in our life to encourage us, to be around us. Do you have anybody that can speak into your life? No questions asked. Can say, hey, I think you're a little off here. Hey, I think you're not realizing this, but you shouldn't have done that. Are there people that can speak into your life? I have people that can speak into my life. I want them to speak into my life. I want to hear from people I know. I don't want to call them and say, hey, what do you think I ought to do about it? And they go, yeah, that's a great idea. When they're like, oh, that was the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Right? You want the doctor to tell you there's a sickness in you. Why? So you can get the treatment, you can walk in freedom. It's not love to be quiet. It's love to actually share. So a commitment to community and life Bible study and worship and volunteering within our church and all of the things. Do you have Christian friends that can speak into your life? That's going to be helpful for restoring the gospel and letting the gospel go out clearly. Now, our third and final point, let me give you this in verse 15 and verse 16. To the pure, everything is pure. I'm going to tell you, give you an illustration on that in just a second. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They're seared. They don't want to hear the truth. Verse 16, they claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. You ever heard people claim in Christ? You're like, really? Huh. Then why are you doing that? They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any kind of good work. Here's the point. Works prove words. Works prove words. You've got to stand strong. You've got to stand for something. Alexander Hamilton, he said, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. You thought that was your grandmother that said it. It was Alexander Hamilton. And if you stand for nothing, you're going to fall for anything. So he's saying here, Titus, the works prove the words. You got to stand for something. And the works got to prove the words. Here's another way we could say it in our today's kind of language, the way that we talk. Put your money where your mouth is, right? Put your money where your mouth is. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. So he's saying, I don't want you just talking a big game. I want you to be able to live this good game, because these folks that are not, they're just talking it and not living it, they're detestable, they're disobedient, they're disqualified from any good work is what it says in verse 16. And so we've got to make sure that our conscience doesn't get seared either, because we want God to use us in good works. We want God to use us for the true gospel. We want God to make a difference through our lives. And so we got to put our words and our actions, they got to connect. See, bad character will bring bad content. And so you got to have the right character that your works are right for then your words. What's it say in the gospels? The overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so we want to have that right heart to put our works and our words to match up together. Now, did you notice a verse of scripture in verse 15? I think this is really good. And I want to hammer down on this before we close. To the pure, everything is pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are defiled. So this isn't a verse to say, well, I'm pure so I can do anything I want. It's all going to be great. No, there's things we need to stay away from as well. But the pure of the gospel of Jesus, that he's changed your heart, that he lives inside your life, that you're walking in purity, you're walking those ways. To those people, everything's pure. But to some folks, it doesn't matter what they say or what they believe. It's like everything's tainted. Everything's tainted. Let me give you an illustration. My wife and I, we were running some errands, and so I dropped her off at the curb of the grocery store as a good husband and let her get out to be able to go into the grocery store. Then I went and parked, and I got out of the car, and I'm walking to the grocery store. As I'm walking to the grocery store, there's this lady coming towards me, and as she's coming towards me, we're not close enough to like say hi or anything, but I'd see her coming. I'm going to go up on the curb that she's coming down off the curb. She's heading out. I'm heading in. Well, as she's doing that, her sandal, her little flip-flop, kind of a cute little flip-flop, ladies, catches on the edge of the curb. And I could see it happening, and she catches it, and she just like, yeah, she's going down. And I'm like, no, right? But I'm not close enough to catch her. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just like, and she goes off the curb, and I mean like full-on face plant on the ground. Just wham. So I run up to her. Her purse is spilled. Her glasses fall out. I run up to her. I said, ma'am, are you okay? Are you okay? And I'm down with her. And she's like, yeah. And I don't know if, you know, her head's going to be caught or what's going to be happening. So she's like, I'm okay. I'm okay. So I grab her purse. I grab her glasses. And then me and another guy, we help her up. And ladies, you know how this would be. She's like hurt 90% by embarrassment and 10% by skin knee. Okay. So we're like, you okay? Is there anything we can do? No, I'm fine. And she's like, I got to get out of here. I got to get in the car and cry. Okay, is what I got to do. And so she's just like, I got to get out. So I hand her a purse and she walks off. And the guy and I, we kind of, when she leaves, we go, good deed for the day. And we fist bump, you know, kind of there. I didn't know him, but we got to be buddies. We're on a team together. So I go into the grocery store. And so then we're walking around with Kelly and I notice I had the lady's glasses still in my hand. You know, all the commotion, I handed her a purse and her glasses had fallen out and I had the glasses. And you know, since I wear glasses, I'm used to having, that's not like a weird thing for me to have glasses in my hand. So then I see Kelly and I'm like, well, maybe I got these from the car. They're just kind of readers. And so I'm like, Kelly, are these your glasses? She's like, no, those are not my glasses. I was like, well, they're not mine. I'm not really into pink cheetah, you know, print here on these glasses. So I'm like standing there with this lady's glasses. Now let me ask you a question. Did I steal her glasses? Somebody in the first service called out yes, okay? And that's wrong. I did not steal their glasses. I have her glasses, but I did not steal her glasses. To the pure, all things are pure, okay? I've already decided I'm not taking these home with me. So I say, Kelly, why don't you give them to the courtesy booth area, whatever they call that kind of place, and why don't you give them there and just turn them in so if she comes back, then the glasses are there. But there was never I kind of like these. It was already decided. But when we turned them into the courtesy booth, the lady at the courtesy booth goes, oh, really? Somebody lost these. And Kelly got in the car and she's like, I think that lady's going to steal those glasses. And it felt like kind of like when my shift's over, if these glasses are still here, I'm going home with these glasses. Now, think about that. In my heart, it had already been decided. I don't steal things, period, paragraph, whether I like the glasses or not like the glasses. I'm not going to steal the glasses. But this lady had not made that decision in the courtesy booth. Oh, really? I kind of like these. Let's see if these are here when I leave. To the defiled, there's defiled. To the pure, there's pure. So let me tell you this in this way. Students, I want you to already make the decision today what happens when you will be offered drugs or drink. You decide today, decide what you're going to do. You decide today, will you stand alone or will you go with the crowd? Don't try to decide in the moment. Don't try to decide at the party. Don't try to decide when you're getting all the pressure and influence. You decide today, this is the pure. And then when you get the glasses in your hand, you know exactly what to do with them. But if you don't decide today, and I've already decided, and I hope you've already decided, I don't steal things. Period, paragraph, end of story. Doesn't matter if they're Ray-Bans that fit me or cheetah print glasses that I don't want to wear. It doesn't matter. I don't steal. So the pure, all things are pure, but the courtesy booth lady had not made that decision. It was based upon what was going to come in to decide what she was going to do about it. Have you decided that you're going to be faithful to your wife or your husband? Have you decided that you're going to be faithful to your home? Have you decided that you're going to be true to the scriptures? Have you decided that church is going to be a part of your life? Have you decided that you're going to read your Bible each day? Have you decided that you're going to walk in purity? Have you decided, students, no matter how bad your grade could be, you're not a cheater. You're not a liar. Decide that today. And when you decide that today, it will take care of a whole lot of other decisions down the way. So Titus is being told by Paul, I want you to get the gospel square in your heart. And I want you to get that it's Jesus alone, and Jesus alone will take care of every other decision. And you trust him, Titus, no matter what happens. And you will walk with the Lord in that way. And to the pure, you'll make mistakes, but it'll be pure. Should have given the glasses right to her. I didn't mean to. You decide, I decide. Our last action point is here at the bottom of this little list. Choose Christ-like character. Choose Christ-like character. Decide that before you even get in the situation. How will you respond? Because if you change because he's cute, if you change because she's cute, if you change because they're cool, if you change because, you know what, I could save a little bit of money if I just did this, if you change because I just kind of like these, you choose Christ-like character. I'm going to choose Christ-like character as well. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord to be able to say the decision's already been made. And so we're going to walk in the truth of the gospel of Jesus. I'm choosing the real over the fake every time. And I got to be able to hear, the ding ding for my life and my heart to be in the right place. Let me tell you the true gospel and then we're done. God sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ. He's the real deal. And he lived a sinless life. You and I couldn't do that, haven't done that. And he died on the cross as a sinless savior, prophesied from days of old, so that you and I could place our faith in his death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, and our faith, that's all it takes, our faith could be placed in his grace and we could receive Jesus Christ and I don't have to add anything to it. And the salvation that comes, I'm washed clean, I'm pure in him. So therefore, because of that salvation, I'm going to follow him and I'm gonna trust in him. No matter how nice the AirPods look, no matter how good the glasses are, I've already decided I'm walking with the truth of the gospel and letting Jesus have his way. You and I, let's do it together. Let's go together. Father, in Jesus' name, we come and we pray, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We trust you. May we not be a group of people that cut corners, tell white lies, just cheat a little bit. But may we make a decision, Father, that we're going to walk in the truth of the gospel. We're not going to walk in false teaching. We're going to identify false teaching. And to be able to live our lives so that our hearts and households can have the power of God. May we make decisions today in church that inform the rest of the week, our decisions. This is just what we do because we follow Jesus. We give the glasses back every time. And we come asking you, God, make the ding ding loud. Make the license plate clear. Give us discernment as we walk with you. We love you, God. We thank you, Lord. And we pray, giving you thanks that you're a doctor that tells us when we're sick. Thank you for that conviction. You love us. And so may we walk in truth, not in falsehood. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.